I call to order the City Council business meeting of May the 12th of 2026. Clerk Campbell, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember O'Rear?
Here.
Councilmember Roop?
Here.
Councilmember Williams?
Here.
Councilmember Roche?
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton?
Here.
Councilmember Tuso?
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Here. Please rise as you are able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the April 14th, 2026 business meeting minutes. Are there any corrections, deletions, or additions? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as submitted. We had no one sign up for citizen comments this evening, so we'll move on to our business items. 6A, second reading of Ordinance Z-2026-01 to propose rezoning of property located at 206 Ladine Court. And I'll call on John Derby, our planning director. Mr. Derby, will you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor, Council. Again, this is the rezoning for this property at 206. Current zoning is ID. It was the previous Scuffletown Food Truck Park. The applicant wants to rezone back to BG to be in line with the surrounding properties. So nothing has changed since the first reading, and I could answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roop.
Mayor, Council, I move that Council approve on second reading of Ordinance Z-2026-01 to proposed rezoning of property located at 206 Ladine Court.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roop with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Councilmember Roche.
Just out of curiosity, I don't know if you're able to tell us or not the future plans for this.
We've had some people call and inquire about purchasing the property, and they had some ideas of what they wanted to do, and we reminded them, and the property owner, unfortunately, it's kind of locked in with the ID. So they pursued this opportunity, so probably one of those uses might come back. I think one of them was a small retail shop in there, but whatever goes there is going to be very limited in size because the parking already is limited. So it won't be a large structure of any kind.
Thank you. Council? There's no further discussion. I'll call for the vote. On the motion to approve on second reading of Ordinance Z-2026-01, proposed rezoning of property located at 206 Ladine Court, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0.
Thank you.
6B, first reading of Ordinance O-2026-04 to transfer $11,530,304.09 in bond proceeds to the capital projects account to fund the downtown Simpsonville project. I call on Maria Tooley, our finance director. Director Tooley, would you summarize, please?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Yes, I'm requesting to transfer the $11,530,304 in bond proceeds from the general fund to our capital projects account to fund our downtown streetscape project.
Okay, thank you. A motion is in order. Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yeah, Mayor and Council, I move to approve first reading of Ordinance 0-2026-04. To transfer $11,530,304.09 in bond proceeds to the capital projects account to fund the downtown Simpsonville project.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Pinkerton with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. 6C, first reading of Ordinance O-2026-05 to authorize a vehicle master lease program to systematically replace the City of Simpsonville's light-duty fleet. Director Tooley, would you summarize, please?
Yes, Mayor. The city is implementing a structured fleet management strategy anchored by a master lease program with Enterprise Fleet Management. The program will be rolled out over five fiscal years and will incorporate nearly all of the city's light and medium duty vehicles. The lease program establishes a predictable replacement cycle, aligns cost with the asset life, and reduces deferred maintenance risk while preserving the city's debt capacity for major capital investments. The first year includes 42 vehicles and two minibuses. I also found out that this ordinance just allows the city to be in agreement to do business and get into a master lease agreement. There is no dollar amount attached to this ordinance.
Thank you, Director Tooley. A motion is in order. Councilmember Williams.
Mayor and Council, I move to approve the first reading of Ordinance 0-2026-05 to authorize a vehicle master lease program to systematically replace the City of Simpsonville's light-duty fleet.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Williams with a second from Councilmember Root. Discussion? Councilmember Root.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Director Tooley and Director Coker, for answering a lot of questions I have. I still have some. Forgive me, guys. But y'all have been really good to respond to my text and calls. I appreciate, and I've had you digging, pulling up numbers that you probably didn't think existed. My dad was an accountant, so I can't help it. It's what I do. Here's where I'm confused, because it does say that 42 vehicles were going to be replaced in the first year, but I remember talking to you afterwards and you were saying that's not necessarily the way it might go. Is that what the lease is for next year?
Well, that's what they have set to replace. They went through all of our vehicles, and anything that's over a certain age or like whatever the needs of the department. And so they went through everything, and depending on the age of the vehicles, this is the plan that they came up with.
For and what was the year of the vehicle that we're cutting that line off? Do you all know offhand?
No, we just took their advice with mileage and wear and tear of the car with the years. But like I said, in the first meeting, they are basically mostly PD. So PD is getting 23. So that's the bulk of our vehicles, our police vehicles, and and that was their recommendation.
So the other almost 20 vehicles would be, 19 vehicles, would just be in any department. It could be an F-150 or an Explorer, whatever that
right.
They're driving.
So we have three in City Hall, three with the fire department, five at Public Works, and eight at Parks and Rec, plus the two minibuses.
Okay. The numbers I had you digging, just so council knows, I've been asking to see what it cost, and I appreciate y'all getting those numbers. I wasn't sure if you could get them. What it cost in maintenance, what we're paying in maintenance a year, basically, minus the fire trucks. And I think we've come up with, if I remember, somewhere in that $200,000 to $300,000 range for maintenance on all of our vehicles, excluding, I think it was 1.7, counting fire trucks, and then we half that.
Well, yes, it's 1.7, and then and that's for 5 years of maintenance for all departments okay. that have fleet. That was for their maintenance, and then the total for fire is $528,000. But there's no way, unless you dug up every invoice for the last 5 years, like you can't see what's a fire truck and what's admin vehicle. But there's 11 admin vehicles and fire that's included in that maintenance also.
Okay. It makes sense to continually. Okay. It would be nice to continually change your cars out. I mean, probably everybody wishes they were in that. I'm wondering if between 42 vehicles that we're adding to the budget, because this goes in the budget if we pass this, and getting all the employees up to date on their pay, is, and I'm still kind of going by, that seems a lot to try to squeeze in a one calendar year instead of stepping up. I'd rather see employees' pay go where they need to be and not so much take a back seat on replacing 42 cars over the next year. So I'm still going to have questions for y'all over the next week. I personally don't like it. I understand the pros and cons. I do. I get both sides. I just think it's going to end up costing the city a lot more money than just maintaining them. And I'll stand at that. Thank you, though, for all your all's work this week. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Council? If there's no further discussion, I'll call for the vote. On the motion to approve first reading of Ordinance O-2026-05 to authorize a vehicle master lease program to systematically replace the City of Simpsonville's light-duty fleet, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no.
No.
That motion carries by a vote of 6-1, with Councilmember Roop voting in the negative. 6D, first reading of Ordinance O-2026-06 to adopt an annual budget for fiscal year 2026-2027 to take effect July 1, 2026. Director Tooley, would you summarize, please?
Yes, Mayor. There's no changes to the first reading of Ordinance 0-2026-06 to adopt an annual budget for fiscal year 2026-2027 to take effect July 1st, 2026.
Thank you. The motion is in order. Councilmember O'Rear.
Mayor and Council, I move that we pass on first reading Ordinance 02-2026-06 to adopt an annual budget for fiscal year 2026-2027 to take effect July 1st, 2026.
Second. A motion from Councilmember O'Rear with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Councilmember Roop.
I guess it comes back to me. Approving this budget, again, is if I have an issue with what we're doing with the lease and replacing 42 cars in a year, then I don't think I can in good conscience vote for a budget that I don't agree with what we're putting in the budget. So where I am for getting police where they need to be and the city staff where they need to be, I'm good with that, whether we tiered it or we did it all at once. I still have issue with the way the fleet's going to be handled. So I'm not sure. I'll pass it through, but I think we still have some educating to do, I guess, to sell me on the lease program. But that was my issue listing these separately, because I feel like if I don't agree with the lease program, I can't vote for the budget. You can't have one or the other. So I'm kind of torn, because I like the budget. I like the work y'all put into it. I like the city staff getting back to pay, and certainly their police and getting police cars. But if there's a way we could, so nothing's changed from the original budget from
no, sir.
Council feedback. Anybody have council feedback that changed? I just want to make sure nothing changed since the last time. If there was a way we didn't have to replace 42 vehicles, then I would probably be for this budget. I just think that that's a lot to handle in a year. But that's where I am. But I will talk to you further this week probably. Thank you.
Councilmember O'Rear.
Thanks again for all the work y'all have put into this. I know it was a lot. I know y'all talked to a lot of us individually, and I know there's some things in here that aren't perfect. I talked pretty much a pretty good length at Committee of the Whole, and I think it was pretty well received. I think everyone knows the millage increase that comes in this, two-thirds of it is going to be for payroll. And I made it clear that, you know, people are the most important to the city, and you need to be competitive. We saw what happened in Greenville County this week in their police department. They're not necessarily taking a step back, just not as big a step forward as they would like. We're taking a step forward. We want to be competitive. We want to keep people. We want to get good people. And to do that, one of the things, and I was talking to one of the directors before the meeting, one of the things you need to take off the board is pay. Everyone knows what everyone makes. We're all we're public people, so you can know those things, and we just have to be competitive. That's what I like about, even as much as I don't like millage increases, I mean, this should have been done years and years ago. We hadn't taken one in 11 years, and that was a problem of the past. Thankfully, it's only a 2 mil increase, and like I said, I want to put it out there for the recording. That's $8 per 100,000 of the value of a home. It's not a lot. Simpsonville has a fair amount of folks, so thankfully, it gets spread out. Speaking of spreading out, the one part that I didn't care for last time, and I've talked to Director West about it too, just to make sure he received it the way I was trying to get it out, was the public works increase. Again, it was a lack of planning in past administration for where we are now. Like I said, you know, this is the boat we're in. We just got to row it. And I just didn't think it was fair to the taxpayers of Simpsonville to absorb that increase all in 1 year. So I did ask Director Tooley and Administrator Coker if there was any way that we could split that up, lower it, and just do it over 2 to 3 year span. So what they came back with was, yes, a 2 year span. So that's what I would like to propose. So at this point, what I would like to do is I would like to move to amend Ordinance 02026-06 by reducing the public works enterprise fee from $228 per year to $201 per year, reducing the general fund transfer to the capital projects fund by $270,000.
Second.
I have a motion to amend the 2026-06 annual budget by reducing the fee for public works from $228 down to $201, and help me with the other numbers, Councilmember O'Rear.
Reducing the general fund transfer to the capital project fund by $270,000.
It's away from or to the capital projects?
To the capital project fund by, a general fund transfer to capital projects fund, reducing the general fund transfer.
$270,000. There you go. Okay. We have a motion from Councilmember O'Rear with a second.
It's, excuse me, Mayor. It's reducing the transfer by 270. So the transfer was 700, and I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but it was around 700, and we're reducing it to move the road match into the general fund out of the enterprise fund to be able to lower that fee.
Right. So reducing the general fund transfer to capital projects by $270,000.
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. So the motion to amend was by Councilmember O'Rear with a second by Councilmember Rue. Is that correct? Okay. Discussion? Councilmember Pinkerton?
Well, actually, I don't know. She just explained it to me because the motion didn't explain why we were moving the 270, and that was going to be my question. But obviously, now you're funding it. It could have been a little better if it was explained in the original motion.
Okay. Any further discussion from council on this motion to amend? Then I will say that I'm just not a real fan of piecemealing this. I would prefer that we just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and get it done now. We're going to need to increase this fee by a little bit every year going forward, and so we can have two medium-sized years and then a little bit each year going forward, or we can just get it all done now. So I personally won't vote for the amendment. Any further discussion? So on the motion to amend Ordinance 2026-06 by reducing the Public Works Enterprise fee from $228 per year to $201 per year and reducing the general fund transfer to the Capital Projects Fund by $270,000, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no.
No.
No. Is it that?
No.
So that is a vote of 4-3 with Council Members Roche and Williams and Mayor Shoemaker voting in the negative. And it passes. So the new main motion is first reading of Ordinance 0-2026-06 as amended, as we just voted on. I'm not going to read out all those words. I think everybody has it, and it will certainly be reflected in the minutes. So now we are back to discussing the main motions. Any discussion from council? All right, then I'm going to call for the vote. On the motion to approve first reading of Ordinance O-2026-06 to adopt an annual budget for fiscal year 2026-2027 to take effect July 1, 26 as amended, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Resolution R-2026-11 to request from Greenville County Council a 5-mil increase for Greenville County property owners to restore equitable cost-sharing fire service in the unincorporated fire service area. Administrator Coker, would you summarize, please?
Yes, Mayor, Council. So this is a piece that's baked into our budget, and it requires County Council to approve a millage increase on behalf of the city in our fire service area, which is twice the size of our incorporated area. So we have a very large fire service area. Staff is will be attending the Greenville County Finance Committee meeting, their June meeting, which is on June 8th, I believe, it's a Monday. I've already had multiple conversations with the chair. Chief Nichols has spoken with the vice chair. I've spoken with other members of that county council committee. And the reason for this is stated in the item title, but just one additional update for you. The reason we are going next month instead of this month is to make sure we have the final resolution in hand. And the second is because we're working with our bond council on a request for a bond issuance in the year 2030 for a fire engine that would be paid for out of debt millage in the fire service area. So in 2029, we have significant debt millage that's rolling off that's tied to the construction of already existing, I can't remember which number, but one of our stations. And so that 2030 debt millage will come on. And so the county taxpayers won't feel a difference. But in the meantime, it will enable me to sign the purchase agreement with the fire truck company, which takes 4 years to build a truck. So very long explanation, but here we are.
Thank you, Administrator Coker. A motion is in order. Councilmember Root.
Mayor, Council, I move that Council approve the resolution R-2026-11 to request from Greenville County Council a 5-mil increase for Greenville County property owners to restore equity, cost-sharing, fire service in the unincorporated fire service area.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Roop with a second from Councilmember Williams. Discussion? Councilmember Roop?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. Administrator Coker, how much money has been guesstimated that this would bring in to help pay
Great
for the
question.
First truck?
I have my calculator right here. So the value of a mill in the fire service area is $175,000. So the estimated value of 5 mills would be $875,000 in this coming fiscal year.
Thank you. And just to be clear, for citizens inside the city, this does not affect them. This is going to only those in the county that we send fire trucks to.
Correct.
This fire truck that we're purchasing, is 100% of the funds of this tax money going to pay for that, or is there going to be some city money that has to go towards it?
So in 2030, this is in our capital improvement plan, we intend to acquire 2 new fire engines. So one will be purchased cash on hand that's saved in our capital projects fund by the city. The second will be debt financed by the county. So we'll pay cash for one. They'll pay for the second through debt.
And to piggyback what the mayor said last meeting, this will help all of our insurances, because we'll go to a tier one, I think you said?
That's our goal, is to be an ISO rating of one.
So this is good for Simpsonville City, because basically the county taxpayers are buying us a truck. It's going to help our insurance company and also service our city as well. So it's a win-win. So the other question I have, the last fire truck we purchased, which we still hadn't got yet, we paid over, I think, a three-year time. I think we paid $250,000 a year. Is this going to be staggered?
Yes, sir. So actually in this year's budget, there's a $300,000 transfer to the Capital Projects Fund, which is the first of four payments for the truck that we'll purchase for cash in 2030. So that truck is actually in our current budget.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Councilmember O'Rear.
Thank you. For Mr. Rader, Coker, everything I've heard is there's no pushback from the county on this right now. Mm-hmm. I know we got to go through the motions and everything because I think to differentiate what we just talked about in the budget, because you know we're talking about a 2 mil increase for city residents. This is a 5 mil increase for residents outside the city that get the fire service from the city. And I just want to let the folks of Simpsonville city limits know that the county folks are going to pay for services rendered also and have it not fall back on the city tax dollars. And so that's why I think this is a great idea, and I'm glad the county's going with it that way. If you use it, you pay for it, and if that's what the numbers look like, then this is what we need to do. So I'm glad this is getting done. That way everyone that possibly can use their service will pay for their service. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Council, further discussion? I'll call for the vote. On the motion to approve Resolution R-2026-11 to request from Greenville County Council a 5 mil increase for Greenville County property owners to restore equitable cost-sharing fire service in the unincorporated fire service area, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6F, Resolution R-2026-12, to relocate the statue of Dr. L.L. Richardson from its location on North Main Street to the circular pad between Council Chambers and East Curtis Street. And I'll call on Charlene Carter, our city planner. Ms. Carter?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We've only had one change since committee meeting. We did do some state law research to make sure that the statue under current law could be moved from one location to here. And so under statute, we are not, as a municipality, prohibited South Carolina Code 10-1-165. So that whereas has been added to this resolution just to confirm that the city does have municipal authority to move the statue to this location.
Thank you, Ms. Carter. I think a motion is in order. Council? Councilmember Williams.
Mayor and Council, I move to approve the resolution R-2026-12 to relocate the statue of Dr. L.L. Richardson from its location on North Main Street to the circular pad between Council Chambers and East Curtis Street.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Williams with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? I'll just make one comment very, very quickly. It doesn't say this on here, but Mayor Richardson was the longest serving mayor of the city of Simpsonville, 36 years, and died while he was in office in 1959. Certainly one of our city fathers, I think. And we are planning on moving him right out here, just on the other side of the patio right here, as a place of honor and far more visibility, and as part of our celebration of the 125th anniversary of the city of Simpsonville. And we're planning on having that celebration, having many celebrations for our 125th anniversary along with the 250th of the country. But that'll be one thing that will be getting a lot of attention. So very much looking forward to that. If there's no further discussion, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor of approving resolution R-2026-12 to relocate the statue of Dr. L.L. Richardson from its location on North Main Street to the circular pad between Council Chambers and East Curtis Street, signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed, signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6G, Resolution R-2026-13 to authorize the city administrator to execute automatic aid agreements between the city of Simpsonville and neighboring fire departments and districts. Administrator Coker, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council, what you have before you has not changed since Committee of the Whole, but just as a reminder, what this does is it requires our four adjacent fire districts to respond to calls within the city. And those are Clear Spring Fire and Rescue, City of Fountain End Fire Department, City of Malden Fire Department, and South Greenville Fire District. This actually is something that will also help our rating with the insurance companies to have in place.
Thank you. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that Council approve Resolution R-2026-13 to authorize the city administrator to execute automatic aid agreements between the city of Simpsonville and neighboring fire departments and districts.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. 6H, modification of fiber franchise agreement to limit the number of providers in a designated area of the city. Ms. Carter, would you summarize, please?
As we discussed at committee meeting, staff has daily phone calls of complaints of issues with fiber companies in the right-of-way, in their yards. We've had water lines broken, service lines broken, power. A lot of times it's locates that have not been completed, timeframes not adhered to. And I know state law is visiting that as far as timeframes for those. However, we have a number of companies working currently. So that's Ripple, WOW, and Frontier. Two out of three, we have kind of extensive issues right now with a number of residents. And so I know you are having calls as well as staff. So I brought this to you for us to discuss and see if Attorney Hughes thought that there was any way the city could have some, could modify the existing franchise agreement. And so he gave an opinion, and so I would like to let him explain further, but I do want to thank him for the clarification because I think there's a lot of points in the existing franchise agreement that clarified things as far as current permits and current work being done and not to the degree as what council explicitly outlined in the current franchise agreement. So.
Thank you. Mr. Hughes, would you like to add?
Sure. Well, everyone has my memo. So based on council's direction at the committee the whole meeting, I went back and looked at how the council can best approach this issue at this time. And, of course, there are three existing agreements with the three telecommunication providers now operating the city. I pointed out a number of enforcement provisions in the existing agreements that I think will help the city regulate those companies better to hopefully reduce the number of issues the city is experiencing. But of course, those are current agreements that have been signed by the city aren't enforceable against the city as well as the franchise. So we do have a right to renegotiate those, but that takes a willing party on the other side. The second part of it was, given the saturation of telecommunication providers in the city, how can, based on the motion that we went forward at a committee of the whole, how do we try to put slow down the number of franchises in the city? And my proposal to the city was that the motion that came out of committee of the whole be amended, that any future franchise request to the city come to City Council to be approved on a case-by-case basis. And at that point, Council could look at the agreement that we have with the telecommunications provider to help assist the city with the concerns that we are now having, especially when it comes to making sure we don't have too much capacity in the ground, and that it's not more than that can be handled, as well as maybe some permitting issues, give us some more teeth on enforcement. You know, I think a lot of us agree that some of the market is going to control a lot of this. We have a lot of opportunities for consumers in the area, and we may not have another telecommunications company request. But in the event one does come to the city, the motion that I've proposed that be passed by this body would then have it come to you for a complete and thorough review and subject to your approval going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. So before we go to the motion, based on advice of our city attorney, Mr. Hughes, I have wording here for the motion that needs to be made. So this motion is in order, Council. Councilmember Roche.
Yep. All righty. Mayor, I move that Council approve.
I move that any future franchise request.
Okay, so we don't have to put Council. Okay. I move that any future franchise request for telecommunication services or otherwise be subject to Council approval pursuant to an agreed upon franchise agreement, and if this motion passes, that it be formalized as a resolution and placed on the agenda of the next business meeting.
Second.
I have a motion from Council Member Roche with a second from Council Member Williams. Council Member Pinkerton.
Yeah, thank you for that. So I have a couple things, and it may be something that turns into additional motions and additions. One, this was an ordinance that was passed back in August of 2024, and I was doing some research on it, and it wasn't ever codified as an ordinance. It's not listed in our ordinances, and I'm wondering if it should be. In fact, I'll obviously refer this to Council, but it could land in our Chapter 32, which has to deal with streets, sidewalks, and other things. And actually, in those sections, actually deals with bonds. Of course, it's a very old ordinance. It's like 2002, I guess, is a reference. But I think that this should be a codified ordinance as a law that we're facing it, because right now, you cannot find it in our code of ordinances. So that'd be a question for you, I guess, first, if this not should be a codified ordinance.
One question, maybe Ms. Carter can help, maybe somebody else. The ordinance that was passed, if I remember correctly, I may be wrong, but I thought the ordinance that was previously passed was dealing with maybe one particular telecommunications provider, but I'm not sure about that. So I don't, if a new franchise request is made, it should be approved by ordinance under my proposal to Council. I'm not sure what was approved that you're referring to back in 2024, and that would help me understand to answer your question as to what council direction.
Well,
council should.
Okay, there was a lot went on at that time, and a lot of discussion. In fact, in that last meeting, we had a speaker from Frontier. A lot of talk with him. Part of it was one of the other things I wanted to bring up was notifications, because that was in their plan to notify citizens when they were getting ready to come into the street. That has and hasn't happened, I know for a fact. It would be something I'd like to also see in this franchise agreement, that there's some notification process to let people know that they're actually coming in. But it wasn't just for one. I understood it because there were several companies already in the mix in the city. WOW was already in, I know, in Poinsettia. Spectrum was in my yard, but they already have a franchise agreement. And then Ripple. So, again, we passed an ordinance, but I personally feel like this should be in our codified as an ordinance.
So if the The previous action taken by council about 2 years ago was to approve each franchise. That would have been proper. That should have been done. We, for this motion, we wouldn't have to adopt it by ordinance. We are simply establishing a policy directive via resolution on how we're going to handle this in the future.
It's an amendment to this attachment A. So this original one was attachment A. So we're amending attachment A to the ordinance.
So you're saying that the form agreement that was attached to an ordinance was approved by ordinance? Is that okay?
Right here.
Okay. So, but in the event this comes back to council for another franchise agreement, you're going to, if it comes back, then you will address it by ordinance, and you will amend, if needed, the current franchise agreement. So that will be handled at that time.
Okay. I'm bringing that up because I think it needs to be in the ordinance. And again, and it's up for discussion, I would like to, like I mentioned before, have some words in there that allows or forces the contractors or the vendors or lessee in this case to notify the public when they're getting ready to be on their streets. I've had many concerns, citizens talk to me about that. And another thing, I know it says in the ordinance or in the franchise agreement right now that they have to obey all the laws and everything, but I'd also like to see in there that they have to apply, I think it's SC 811, which is notification for utility locations. They do have to follow laws, and that's a law, but there's nothing specifying in the franchise agreement that they have to do utility relocates. Or not relocates, but locations. Because we've had a number of instances in the city where gas lines have been hit, water lines have been hit. And yes, some of these areas have had their utilities located, but I just want to make sure that's in the franchise agreement. And this is up for discussion, obviously.
So, go ahead.
Well, the one issue I would have with codifying the agreement is that this agreement may not work for the agreement that you want, may not work for one company, it may work for another. And so one company may come in and want to only install fiber in this particular area of the city. And so that would be, in the agreement would be, the map would be attached as an exhibit and say you can install fiber just in this area, but none other. So I don't think it would be prudent for the city to adopt the agreement by ordinance. I think it's enough, Mr. Pinkerton, that we have the existing ordinance that says franchises are to be approved by council. And with this direction council takes, we know that it's going to all come back to council for approval on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, but can we make sure that this ordinance is codified into our ordinances? And in a location that makes sense. And again, I mentioned, I think it's 32, but there's a number of references in there on what we do in streets and in right of way. So I'd appreciate if you look at that and see if we can adopt that into where it's codified. Otherwise, you wouldn't know there is a franchise agreement anywhere. It's not codified in our system.
I see what you're saying. So adopt it by reference more to.
Right.
Okay.
So take my turn here and just wanted to say that I'm in agreement with Councilmember Pinkerton, and I don't think it was I didn't hear you ask to codify the agreement wording. What I heard you say was let's codify what the process is and put it in our codified ordinances where people can see it and find it and can be referred to.
That's what I'm
asking. By the time this is ended, I think if Councilmember Pinkerton doesn't do it, I'm going to move to change the wording from formalized as a resolution to formalized as an ordinance to be codified and placed on the agenda of the next committee of the whole, since it's going to be a new ordinance.
So I guess
it. Right. So.
Okay.
Do you want me to just go ahead and make that motion?
Please.
Okay. So, Council, I move that we amend the motion to change the last part of the wording from formalized as a resolution to make it formalized as a codified ordinance and placed on the agenda of the next committee of the whole.
Second.
So I have a motion from the mayor with a second from Councilmember Roop. Discussion on the amendment.
I'll just go ahead and keep my name in place there. You pretty much just covered what I was going to say. From a parliamentary standpoint, it's got to go back to a committee of the whole and not straight to another
business. That's kind of what
and
I thought,
so
too.
That kind of answered that, but my name was up there. So I just want to point that out. So
okay.
Thank you.
All right. So if there's no further discussion, about Councilmember Roche.
So since we're going back, we're making some changes. Would that open this resolution to adding anything to it as far as I feel like there needs to be specifically said something about property damage to residential property, commercial, all property, and a penalty or, you know, some sort of way for the city to, because we have become the liaison, whether we wanted to or not, between the fiber companies and the residents, the homeowners, the business owners. And that's the only thing I see lacking. I mean, I know that we can pull their permit, but I feel like that needs to be expressly put in writing that, you know, these are the consequences. And I feel like there should be some sort of form online that a homeowner or business owner could fill out and throw up some pictures for evidence that, you know, my property was damaged, my driveway was cracked when they put the line underneath it. That was my situation personally. We didn't say anything. We just replaced our driveway last weekend. But I feel like there should be a way for an individual to record that for the city and for the city to be able to hold these companies accountable specifically by address. Because right now, everyone that's calling me is saying, we're getting the runaround. They're saying they didn't do it. They're saying that's as good as it's going to get as far as restoring my lawn. They're saying that it was our responsibility to mark utilities. They're doing just about anything they can to get out of making the customers whole. It's a bad way to start a business, but it's not my business. I don't know how we could work that in, but since we're going back to committee of the whole, I'd like to see some wording like that put in there.
Before we go to further discussion, let me remind council that we are discussing the amendment to the main motion, which was to have it formalized as codified ordinance. Councilmember Roop? So yours is for the... Okay. Councilmember Pinkerton, was yours?
Same.
Okay, so if there's no further discussion on the amendment, I'll call for the vote. So on the motion to amend the main motion to have it formalized as a codified ordinance and place it on the agenda of the next committee of the whole, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. So now we are discussing the main motion. Councilmember Rip.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to personally thank you, Ms. Carter, for the work, not just putting this on the agenda. If you hadn't gotten to it, I probably would have here pretty soon. But just being available by phone and text, you're so good to answer the phone. You're so good to call constituents back. When they are looking to make a claim, and as Councilmember Roche said, they are getting runarounds with these companies, they're looking for someone to help. And it's nice, it's reassuring for us that sit here knowing that we can turn them over to you and they're taken care of. So I wanted to verbally give you thanks for that. But I do have a couple of questions. When you're talking to, for instance, you talked to one of the managers at WOW today. Mm-hmm. I pulled in my subdivision, and they are now in my subdivision. And one guy was in a hole so deep that I could barely, you know, almost see his head. And I'm wondering why they're digging so deep, first of all. What was his answer to that?
He did not.
Because the other utility companies did not. The first one that came through didn't hardly dig at all. They left little teeny little boxes in her yard. And then Frontier came, and now we got these big old boxes. And now I'm seeing WOW is digging even lower, and I'm wondering what that's going to do to everyone's lawn moving forward. So what is their reasoning why they're digging so deep?
He did not give me a specific as why to the depth. I know that water lines, service lines, water main that broke several weeks ago, they're deep. So they may be trying to miss other utilities in the area. You know, we had some back and forth today as well that there are also not just the franchisee that are signing these agreements, but they have a lot of subs working for them. So mm-hmm. we may need to not just the grantee, but the subcontractors that are working, because I think that's actually where a lot of the problems and the follow-up is. Mm-hmm. Rico from WOW, the supervisor, he explained to me that they're not allowed to go in the same spots. For example, in your neighborhood, Frontier was just through there 2 or 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so they're not allowed to go in the same spots or use the same green boxes. And so there's, you know, a huge amount of green boxes along neighborhoods. And then you get multiple places and yards and things to fix.
Nobody wants to see more green boxes. I think I can speak. I think we all agree with that. The other thing I'm wondering too is I've seen a lot of street damage. Now, if you know, when I'm out doing my walk, I will see them and I will notice them because I know that they're under these obligations to not leave the subdivision. Most citizens probably don't know to report that. So when they're all out of here, is there a process that we will have to drive around, or when one fiber company leaves? I don't want to blame Frontier if it was WOW's problem, but as they're leaving these subdivisions, they're damaging our road. I'm sure it's happening everywhere. What is the process in place that we're checking those things to keeping them accountable, what they're doing to our city streets as well?
I think that's something that we need to discuss with the Public Works Director and the engineer and the administrator about a process to follow up. Because like in your example, I know that Frontier was there 3 weeks ago, but I also know WOW is there now. So how do we actually hold them accountable? There's a lot of bores that are going underneath the roads. And so, you know, we have a lot of roads to take care of. And so the thought that, you know, any damages we may not catch, and we're on a long-term kind of capital improvement plan to pave these roads and restore them. So, you know, I think that would be a real good option to have an evaluation of these.
Yeah,
areas.
I think it would be wise of us, because I could see people saying in 2 years, oh, look at my driveway, or look at the street. You know, I know WOW did it, but I didn't say anything then. And you can't go back in 2 years and ask them to fix it. The one last question I have is just so I can let people know. If they have a claim, or when they have a claim, are they to work with the company individually first, or contact the city for help and bypass going through the company? They're not getting much help for the most part when they're going through the company. I don't want to put more work on city staff. Where are we supposed to be directing them when they ask us?
I would say that they need to work with the company first, but it would be helpful for staff to know, for us to kind of keep a log, whether it's a form. Justin, Clark Campbell and I actually discussed that, I think, yesterday, about a form online where we can just have a record. Mm-hmm. Because in Attorney Hughes's his memo, he kind of explained that, you know, we can hold them accountable. So I think we can hold some permits. We can, with the existing language in this agreement that they've signed, we can basically hold them up until they fix things that they need to fix. If there's something
we can do, I don't think it would require any changing to this, what we've just done here on the franchise agreements. If there's something that we could do to where a citizen makes a claim and they go through the company, that somehow city staff, that is tied into our system and flag, so we can see how many claims are going on at a time. I don't know what that looks like or how much time it's going to be. But if they know hey, when this citizen makes a claim against us, this is also going to the city immediately, and they're able to see and track these. I think it would keep them more accountable to fix things and not give people the runaround, but also allow us to check back to see which companies we're having the most problems with, how many claims are out there, and are they getting fixed? Just a thought. I don't know what type of system that would require for them to do, or maybe just tell these companies, when you get a claim, you have to, and I don't, that's what I don't know, Mayor, if we need to add this to the agreement, that company has to alert city staff that there was a claim. I don't know if that has to be in the agreement. We need to pass that, or we can just specify that on the back end. I'm not sure, but I'd like to see them let city staff know, here's how many claims that we are currently working on.
We are upgrading currently our Evolve system. So that's the permitting system that they are submitting their permits through.
Okay.
So we actually have a scheduled meeting on Thursday morning that we could ask if some kind of work order system could be put in. So if they call the front desk, you know, that could be recorded. It will be under that address. So anything that pulls up, whether somebody's added a permit for a mechanical upgrade or if they've had a fiber issue, any kind of code enforcement would list under that address. So we could do that, and that system does allow us to pull reports.
Okay.
So that could be an option.
All right. Thank you. And thank you again for your hard work. And I know you're getting a lot of calls, and they'll be gone soon. But thank you so much for what you've done so far.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yeah, just real quick. Also, when I was looking into this on that meeting back in 2024, the franchise agreement that was within my packet had the bond requirement at $100,000, and this latest one is at $50,000, which is probably acceptable. But I need to go back and look, and or maybe staff can, to see how we got from 100 to 50,000.
We do require them, when they sign the franchise agreement, to provide a certificate of liability for $1 million.
That's insurance. I'm talking about the bond for repairs.
We
require them to have a bond
when they submit.
It was a franchise agreement. In my packet says 100, now it says 50. I just wanted to see where that got changed.
Okay.
Councilmember O'Rear.
Thank you. I guess really I want to address Councilmember Roop's concerns. I remember speaking about this. I remember asking the former administrator a question about putting teeth in it, to answer Councilmember Roche's query too, put teeth in it, and how that looked, what that looks like. And I remember being told at the time, I want to get clarification from Mr. Hughes, is that because the contract is technically between the city and the fiber optic company, any claims would have to go through the city. So in other words, you know, Mr. Jones over here on Main Street's not going to be contacting the company for damage. They're going to be contacting the city for the city to then turn around and have the fiber optic company comply with what they've signed to repair damage. That was the way I remember it being explained. Now, I don't know if that's correct today, but that was my understanding, that the contracts are between the city and the fiber optic company, and if a person is harmed, the case needs to be taken up by the city on behalf of that person because of the contractual agreement between the city and the fiber optic. Is that correct?
Yes, that would be correct. The only caveat to that, perhaps, is if the fiber company does direct damage to the structure that is not within the city right-of-way, then the property owner would probably have a direct claim against the provider that would fall outside the scope of this agreement.
Thank you.
Any further discussion, Council? I'm going to call for the vote on the motion that any future franchise request for telecommunication services or otherwise be subject to Council approval pursuant to an agreed-upon franchise agreement, and if this motion passes, that it be formalized as a codified ordinance and placed on the agenda of the next Committee of the Whole meeting. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. 6I, addendum to amend language in the Burdett North Development Agreement. Director Derby, would you summarize, please?
Thank you, Mayor, Council. This is the addendum to the approved development agreement for the Burdett North project. What's being asked from this addendum is to allow the site to be used as a possible laydown yard during construction for the streetscape project. Currently, that's not in the development agreement. So this allows flexibility for the owners to pursue that with Cotransco. If they do pursue that, that would push back the time schedule for construction, which is another part of the addendum. And the last section is that if during this time that there is kind of a pause or the laydown yard, if the owners were to pursue more property and expand the development, that the city would agree to have discussions with them regarding a possible parking structure. Nothing has changed since the Committee of the Whole on April 27th.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that Council approve the addendum to amend language in the Burdett North Development Agreement.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Pinkerton. Discussion, Councilmember Roche.
If this is used as a laydown area for their equipment, would they put construction fencing up around it?
Most likely. Some type of screening for security and insurance reasons. You're going to have a plethora of material and heavy machinery is going to be there. So for reasons of that, there'll be some type of screening there to keep people out. So
in the last meeting, I also mentioned that we'll be losing all that public parking. Anything that we can do about that?
I'm not sure clear if it's going to be both sites, the old SunTrust, AAA, and City Hall, or just one of those. So that could be the option that that overflow parking or the extra parking could be used on that side, but nothing as of right now.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember O'Rear.
Thank you. I know we're in kind of the land of what ifs, but what if they do acquire the bank or the
credit union.
There you go. They acquire the credit union just from a formality standpoint. What does that look like if that were to come true? They acquire it, they come to us. It triggers the whole process through planning commission and everything at that point?
Correct. If they were to purchase it, they would just be operating as a bank until they come back and amend, rezone the property, the ID development of Burdett North, include that into that. That would come back through planning commission as a whole new process, and then council.
So it enveloped the entire property, not just the piece that got... Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yep.
Council? All right, then I will call for the vote. On the motion to approve the addendum to amend language in the Burdett North Development Agreement, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. This concludes all of our business items for this evening. If there is no objection, we will stand adjourned.